This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Talk about Amazon launching an in-home drone for security. And at 12:49, Stock Picker Monday. Right now, the week ahead will feature the government jobs report for September. We're joined by Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com, based in Palm Beach, Gardens, Florida. Greg, we get the last U.S. jobs report before the election. What are the experts expecting in this report?
Oh, good afternoon, Cisco. Thanks for having me. Another monthly jobs report. I think, you know, the recovery of jobs that were lost from the pandemic will continue. But, you know, how much slowing is there going to be in that pace? I think also one of the things that clouded the numbers last month was the fact that about 250,000 of those jobs added were temporary census workers. And so, you know, already some of those have, you know, those jobs have come to an end. I think that's clouding the picture just a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, continued recovery of lost jobs. And the only real question mark is at what pace do we see that? The unemployment rate is expected to dip just a bit. Estimates coming in around 8.2%, 8.3%, just a tad lower than the current 8.4%.
And how important is it to continue a steady pace of job growth, given how many have been lost?
I'd put it this way. Two-thirds of economic growth comes from consumer spending. Well, where does that consumer spending come from? It comes from, that income, right? And so, you know, the more people that are out of work, that are on the sidelines, the tougher it is for them to get back in, because as they're on the sidelines, some of those temporary layoffs become permanent, job skills erode, some of those jobs won't come back. So, yeah, I think that steady pace, continuing to get people back and continue to, you know, ramp up the economy, even things, businesses that are open, they might be running at a fraction of the capacity, you know, continuing to ramp that up, I think also going to be very key to bringing back jobs, but bringing back jobs that will be then sustained going forward.
As we begin moving into the winter months here in the northern part of the country, where it's going to be very cold, is there a risk that a lot of these jobs that have been lost, say retail, hospitality, you know, bars, restaurants, that sort of thing, those jobs are just not going to come back anytime soon?
Yeah, I think that is the risk. I mean, when we talk about temporary job losses becoming permanent, I think, you know, those are certainly the ones at the top of the list. Even workers that have been called back, you know, if the demand is not there, if the demand is not sustainable, you know, maybe there was an initial pop during the summer months as things reopened, but that, you know, demand wanes going into the fall, then some of those people that got called back then get laid off again. I think that's one of the real big concerns. In particularly, as you noted, we go into the winter months, you know, that does tend to be a slower time of the year for some of those leisure and hospitality type events to begin with.
Thanks so much for all of the analysis. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Coming up, the Bears have found a teammate for sports betting. The Bears have forged an agreement with global sportsbook operator PointsBet. Let's learn more about what it involves. Johnny Eitkin is here, CEO of PointsBet. It's based in Denver, Colorado. Johnny, it's good to have you on the show. So kind of give us the nuts and bolts of the partnership that you have with the Bears.
Yeah, thanks, Cisco. So the partnership's first of its kind, being the first ever time the Chicago Bears have entered into a formal arrangement with a legal sportsbook. We've partnered in market with the Hawthorne Racecourse, a very storied organization. And obviously, again, you can say the same thing about the Bears. And NFL's king when it comes to betting. It's the most bet on sport here in the U.S. And for us, associating ourselves with the premier sports team in town, again, was a big focus point. And to be the first company to do it with the Bears, it's a very exciting time.
So for fans, is this, I'm thinking about the platform here, is this app-based? Is it in person? Maybe a combination?
Yeah, so it's a combination. We have an app. It's the fastest app in market, the fastest way to sign up, the fastest way to bet, the fastest way to deposit and withdraw. You can go into the iOS store or I can go to pointsbet.com. And then we'll also have a way to physically bet. So you can go and take cash and bet at the Hawthorn Racecourse. And following that, we'll have three other off-track betting shops, setups for Sportsbook at Prospect Heights in the north, Oakbrook Terrace in the west, and then Crestwood in the south. So we've almost created like a net outside the Chicago metro area. And if you're driving north, west, or south, the chances are that you'll be driving in sort of near time past the PointsBet Sportsbook to place a bet.
So talk about the benefits of a deal like this, both for PointsBet and also for the Bears. And let's throw the fans in there, too. There's lots of places for fans to place bets, but it seems like there have to be some advantages out of this deal with the Bears.
Yeah, for us, it's to put us on the map and to show the local market that we're serious about being the number one place to place a bet in Chicago. On the back of the announcement, we're actually offering the best price in a market for every Chicago Bears game, be it the money line, the spread line. Will always be a better price than the likes of FanDuel, DraftKings, and BetRivers. And we just want to keep delivering value to the loyal sports fans of Chicago, and those that like to place bets on the Bears will get the best odds at PointsBet every week of the season.
Does that partnership help with maybe promotions that you can run for fans? I mean, is there anything like that in a deal like this?
Yeah, it's been complex, Disco, obviously, with COVID-19. A large part of the deal that we, again, hope to unlock would be, I guess, the in-stadium experience and how PointsBet could interact with the fans in-stadium. That's probably looking unlikely this season. So a lot of the deal assets are predicated around the sort of digital platform, the use of their, again, IP marks and logos. There's sponsorship opportunities and there's brand sort of visibility, as I said, within their sort of digital platforms. Again, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So we hope this is the first of a decade, century-long connection with the Chicago Bears.
Are you finding a lot of new fans sort of dipping their toes in the water? People who wouldn't bet originally because it was illegal and they didn't want to do that. And now that it's legalized, maybe they're just sort of experimenting with it a little bit and see whether they like it or not.
Yeah, I think, you know, for a long time, obviously, it has been illegal and it has been a taboo. And I think now people are starting to understand that there is a legal place to place a bet. That means it's very safe. Your information's safe. Your banking details are safe. It's actually not that hard to set up an account with PointsBet. It takes seconds, not minutes. And you can bet, you know, $1, $5, $10, just betting within your means and having a little bit of fun and adding that extra, I guess, bit of spice to a game. We have seen a lot of people take up the app and we've been blown away. We launched at the start of September and we've been blown away, again, with the amount of people and sign-ups that we've had to date in Illinois. We always thought it'd be an amazing market, pro sports teams, but it's, again, sort of blown us away, the reaction to our app.
Well, the dollar amounts that you mentioned, I think that's what's fascinating as I talk to people about this. So a lot of folks assume sports betting, they're having to bring in a whole bunch of money in order to do this. But yeah, if you want, you can just sort of dabble in it a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. You know, some of the best stories I've heard early days in Illinois, people that have had a $1 or $2 bet and they've gone on to win $1,000 on a 5 or 6 week parlay. And again, it should always just be about having some fun, and there's no funner place to place a bet than PointsBet. We have the most betting markets in the world every NFL game, and we offer, as I said, the best odds on the Bears. So don't shortchange yourself. You should be placing every bet you can on the Bears with PointsBet.
What do you say for people who are brand new and they just have no idea what they're doing? I mean, they look at some of these terms, even a term like money line, and they just have no idea what that is, but they'd like to learn.
Yeah, we have a betting academy or an education site on our app where we help people to get more learned on all these different types of betting terms. I think over time you'll see more and more flexibility within the app to dumb down some of the lingo or slang, I should say, because at the moment, you're right, you can go on the app and it can be quite overwhelming. The thought of a money line, a spread line, a total line, you know, what does that all mean? But we've placed a lot of time and investment in the education part of the app. So, you know, if you don't know those terms from app, out of the gate, you can go into the PointsBet app and sort of learn them and, again, become more familiar with those types of betting terms.
Thanks so much. Really interesting. Thanks for joining us. That is Johnny Eitkin, CEO of PointsBet. They now have a deal with the Chicago Bears as a sports book. Up next, bracing for a potential fall surge of COVID cases.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
College students coming home and Thanksgiving gatherings pose real challenges in the effort to stop the spread of coronavirus. Let's find out what medical professionals are seeing. Dr. Chris Colbert is here, an ER doctor and assistant program director of the Emergency Medicine Residency Program at the University of Illinois Chicago Hospital. Dr. Colbert, good to have you back on the show. Let's talk about some of the challenges here during this holiday season as students come home and families gather for Thanksgiving. What are medical professionals concerned about?
So, you know, our recommendation right now is that for those families that are going to have children return home is to practice quarantining those students for the simple fact that there is no comorbidities for this patient population and can walk around and travel with positive COVID symptoms without the really high morbidity or mortality. And what happens is they travel home and come into contact with family members that have comorbidities, family members that have at a higher risk population. And so just to be mindful of that when your family members come home.
What do they do at Thanksgiving? I mean, do you have a Thanksgiving table or is everybody sitting in separate rooms enjoying the meal? How do you do this?
So here's the thing. That's a fair question, and that's a really great question, in fact. Our suggestion, in fact, is to kind of spread out those tables, maybe use joining rooms and have one table in one room and one table close, but in the other room as well, to decrease, again, exposure and contact. And we are specifically recommending to not house hop. We call it house hopping, where you have breakfast at one family member, and then you go to another family member's home. And in essence, you're just going from home to home to home. Some people visit 3 to 4 homes on one holiday. And so our recommendation, in fact, is to be safe, decrease the exposure and content as well, and stay at one place for the Thanksgiving break.
What are you expecting to discuss? There's a virtual conference coming up with ER doctors. What do you expect sort of the consensus to be?
You know, in fact, I am the co-moderator of an upcoming ER conference on October the 11th, and some of our key discussions are, in fact, these questions. What are the recommendations? What are the conversations that are held? For anyone out there interested in the medical profession, drchris.er, you can connect that way. We can talk about and provide more insight on this amazing conference and having conversations discussing somewhat like this.
Thanks so much. Always good to have you on the show. We'll have you back after that conference, too. We're interested in what ER docs are saying from around the country. Dr. Chris Colbert, ER doc here in Chicago at the University of Illinois Chicago Hospital. Still ahead, using a drone to keep an eye on the interior of your home.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. President Trump responds to a report that he paid less than $1,000 in federal taxes the year he was elected to the White House. The president and rival Joe Biden get set for the opening debate of the campaign. Amazon's Ring is introducing a security drone designed to fly around the inside of your house. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the Dow up 512 points, the NASDAQ up 168, and the S&P is up 56 points. Oil is up 0.5%. Cloudy day in Chicagoland, occasional rain, high of 62 degrees, right now 54 degrees. Saying he's paid many millions of dollars in taxes, President Trump maintains he was entitled to take deductions and credits, quote, like everyone else. The comment comes in response to a New York Times report that he claimed such large business losses that he paid just $750 in federal income taxes the year he was elected president and again during his first year in office. CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The Biden campaign leapt onto the report, creating buttons that say the bearer has paid more in federal income taxes than the president. The New York Times story confirms Mr. Trump's long-running claim that he's been under audit. The report says it's due to a $73 million tax refund he received a decade ago. In addition to cataloging the enormous losses Mr. Trump claimed on his returns, the Times also reported that over the next 4 years, he will owe his lenders hundreds of millions of dollars. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
President Trump will be in Cleveland tomorrow evening for his debate with Democratic challenger Joe Biden.
I really... I am looking very forward to the debate.
The president made the comment this morning while examining an electric vehicle during an event on the South Lawn of the White House. Tomorrow night's event runs for 90 minutes with no breaks. We will carry it live starting at 8 o'clock here on News Radio. If you're working remotely or anytime you're home, if you have a smart speaker, all you have to do is tell it to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments. It's 12:33.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Quite a really good start to the trading week. The Dow up nearly 2%, the NASDAQ up 172, and the S&P is up 57. Let's find out what's going on. Michael Palumbo is here, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk. Mike, good to have you on the show. What's going on today?
Well, good afternoon, Cisco, and thanks again for having me on. You know, we have a big rally going on, as you guys have spoke about. The S&P seems to be magnetized to the 3350 level. It's bounced down 100 points below it, 100 points above it over the last 3 weeks, and here we are back at 3354, but up 1.7% today. I think this is really mostly positive thoughts about the fiscal stimulus package. You heard Nancy Pelosi talk about getting the job done. I do believe it will happen, but I think most of this rally is just a little bit of relief that maybe Congress actually can get together in a bipartisan way, which a lot of people thought was not possible given that we've got an election coming up in 40 days or so. But I think it will get done, and that should send the market higher.
Does it depend on what ultimately ends up in that deal? Because not all deals are created equal. I'm just wondering if Wall Street likes it no matter what.
Well, I think there's just an assumption that the big thing, which is taking care of stimulus to individual taxpayers like the CARES Act did, I think that's pretty much assumed that it's going to be baked in. I don't see how it wouldn't because that was the major part of the last one. The last one was $1,200 per adult and $500 per child, and I think you'll get a similar type number. And the reason why I think it's going to get done is that which party wants to be the bad guy here with the election coming up in November? I think that they're going to be forced to get along here, get something passed, and get money to individuals who do need it. We don't know how much longer this virus is going to take, and we need to help out individuals and Main Street, and this is how you have to do it.
And, I mean, conceivably, you get that done before the election, but given the fact that the virus is still ongoing, I mean, are we going to be talking in the new year about another deal?
Well, we hope that that if the fiscal package is passed, it's strong enough that it would carry through to the rest of this year and early next year, and hopefully that will be enough. We'll see what the virus has to say about that in the coming months. But my thoughts are that we're going to get one more pretty big hit here, and then things should start to calm down a little bit virus-wise. That's the overall kind of expectation of the, you know, a lot of virologists that you would talk to. It could be worse than that, but I think that this next stimulus should tide people over enough to get through the rest of this craziness. But they have to get it passed, and it takes both parties, so we'll see if they can get it done.
Do you get a sense that any of a rise on a day like today is just people finding deals, given the fact that some stocks have really been hammered over the last few weeks?
They have. Finding deals is pretty difficult, because even though some have been hammered, you've got a stock market that's only a few percent off all-time highs. So, you know, you have to be awfully picky. Yeah, there are some deals in some battered stocks in the areas that were affected by the virus, but then you got to decide, are these stocks going to come back? And those are the big box retailers, things like that. But then you can go at tech and say, well, these are trading at 30, 40, 50 times earnings. Are those values? I don't know. I mean, you know, I think you have to look at both sides. There are some in both tech and in the value names. I like Coke, I like MSGS, and I like Ulta, and those are names I've given to you guys in the past and Stock Picker Mondays, and I still think they'll perform well coming up in the future.
Thanks so much, Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital. Up next, a new home security gadget. It's raising questions about privacy.
making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A flying camera is the latest innovation in home security. Let's learn about it from Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show. Paul, it's good to have you back on the show. Let's talk here. Tell us about Amazon's in-home security drone.
Sure. Well, about a couple of years ago, they bought something that is now called Ring. And Ring is a doorbell that allows you to look at who's ringing the door. It's actually now got a number of layers of product, including security, which alerts you with, if you have the app, which you will when you get the product, if somebody's trying to get in your house. Well, now there's a product which is, to me, head-shaking, but kind of cool, both. And it's called the Always Home Cam, which is a drone. It sits in a base. But it flies inside your house to examine whatever noise just got made if you're out of the house. And if you want to check, for example, if you left the stove on, you could literally manually fly the drone over to the stove from somewhere else outside the house using your app and the camera that's on the drone to see what's going on in the home. So the thing that's a little, you know, I mean, some people are a little creeped out by the idea of this drone flying around your house. It does have a noise that it constantly makes, a hum, so that it doesn't surprise anybody in the house. You know it's coming. But in a nutshell, it's a little drone for inside.
And for the people concerned about privacy, I mean, this is, well, let's be frank here, this is Amazon essentially able to map your whole house, right?
You betcha. Now, they're promising end-to-end encryption later this year for the control center that Ring makes. And the actual device itself, which is going to be introduced in mid-2021, which is going to cost $250, will again be encrypted by you theoretically from end to end. So in other words, what you're controlling with your app is encrypted so people can't see inside your house. Again, we've all seen where there are certainly holes in what was otherwise promised to be a totally impermeable system, but we'll see.
If Amazon, I mean, I don't know if they keep a record of this stuff or not. I mean, is there a benefit? Is Amazon able to look at the layout of a house? What sorts of products you're buying? The color of the decor? Or is Amazon saying, no, it's just your video. We're not going to be looking at it.
Well, Amazon, not surprisingly, is claiming complete anonymity. In other words, they're not going to know who's flying their drone in what house. They are going to, now, that said, there's a whole bunch of people who are perfectly, right now, people who just have to read the newspaper or listen to the show who understand that the Alexa devices, I probably shouldn't have said that too loudly, by the way.
You just activated one, I think.
Just in case, I just activated maybe 50 of them. I don't know. Anyway, the point is that those devices do need to be always listening so that they can hear the action word, which, of course, is the device's name. So in other words, they're always listening. Now, Amazon, of course, again, claims these things are either expunged of personalized data and all sorts of other assurances. But again, that's the benefit of this, ostensibly to conclude, is, look, if you really do want a single security camera that can go all over your house, and you, by the way, you can lead it, you can tell it where to go to set up the route, then it's a great thing because you can really see inside your house anywhere and not depend on one camera that's fixed.
And that's where this ends up going, right? Like with Ring, there were a lot of people concerned about privacy with that, and the consumer gets to decide whether or not they care about it.
Look, in the end, exactly right. The balance is always going to be convenience versus privacy for almost any modern technology product. You either give up some privacy to get that convenience, or you don't want the convenience and you want your total privacy, in which case, leave the thing out of your house. But in the end, it is truly revolutionary. The question will be, will customers want to make that, basically make that exchange, privacy or convenience?
Always interesting developments. Thank you so much. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media. At this time tomorrow, it's Travel Tuesday. Still to come today, our Monday Stock Picker.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Wealth Management Group. Chuck Carlson is here, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, it's good to have you back on the show. What's your first pick today?
Well, Cisco, I'm going to preference these picks based on investors always saying, hey, if these stocks pulled back, I would go ahead and buy them, which, by the way, investors rarely do. But one of those areas right now is tech. There's investors out there that probably said, boy, if some of these tech stocks would pull back, I would go buy them. Well, you're having your shot now, and here are two that I especially like. Facebook is the first one. Trades for about $256 a share. The stock is down 16% from its 52-week high. And one of the things I like about Facebook versus maybe some other technology stocks is that I don't think it is so excessively valued as you see with some of the crazy tech stocks that are trading at 50 and 100 times sales, let alone earnings. Facebook trades at about 25 times their 2021 earnings estimate, which to me is a pretty good deal for a top quality company. So the first pick is Facebook, down 16% from its 52-week high at about $256 per share.
And what's the second pick then, going with the tech theme?
Yeah, the second one again is Alphabet, the symbol Google, G-O-O-G-L. The stock trades for about $1,456 a share. It's down again about 16% from its 52-week high of around over $1,700 per share. And like Facebook, Google, I think, is a good value in the space. It trades at, again, 25 times its 2020 earnings estimate. So you're not paying huge, you know, way overpaying for some of the other tech stocks that you would be buying right now. And, you know, again, industry leader. The two biggest risks, quite frankly, or the biggest risk for the two companies, quite frankly, is probably regulatory. And I think that's factored into the stocks right now. So, again, if you're one of those folks that was saying, boy, if these tech stocks pulled back, I would buy them, this is your chance. Again, two of them, and our clients own them, is Facebook and Alphabet.
As you mentioned, though, earlier, a lot of people say they're going to do that, and they just don't. They never pull the trigger.
No, they don't. And the reason is because, you know, it's one thing to say when stocks are going up, boy, I'm going to buy them when they go down. But it's another thing to actually do it when the stocks are actually going down. You know, buying stocks that are falling is difficult to do. But you have to do that if you want to try to buy some of these stocks at better values. And again, you're getting an opportunity in the tech space, especially with these two stocks.
All right. Before we let you go, what's the Dow theory telling us?
The Dow theory is still bullish. That's not to say we won't have, you know, volatility between now and the end of the year, but the primary trend of the market is still bullish according to the Dow theory, and we think that, you know, daily volatility notwithstanding, that the trend is going to continue to be up.
Thanks so much, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter. His two picks today, both tech picks, Facebook and Alphabet.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.